Italy has fascinating culture, beautiful scenery, amazing history, and warm, friendly people. Nobody knows Italy better than the host of How to Tour Italy. Here's Anthony Capozzoli on TalkZone.com.
We are here with my friend Hand at her shop in Rome called Vino Roma, one of the coolest things to do while you're here visiting Rome. If you like wine or even if you don't know much about wine, this is definitely something to check out.
Okay, now our wine from Sicily. Now look at this one. See the color? See the color difference?
Yeah, it's quite a bit more gold and yellow than the first one, which was on the paler green side. So just based on what we learned on our first tasting in today, is this has had a lot more sun being from Sicily.
Exactly.
So it has more sugar in the grape, which yields a more yellow wine.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it's not directly like that, but indirectly, it does definitely. It does. It is correct what you have said. More sun, more energy the plants have, and
sure.
More sugar in there, more alcohol we have, and also the color is definitely. It shows of these dry and hot Sicilian summers.
It's great.
Okay. Okay. Remember the procedure.
Yeah.
Okay. Talk about the. Would you like to talk about the legs, the famous legs?
Sure.
everyone has heard about the legs, but no one exactly knows what it's all about. You know, the legs are the things that when you swirl your glass and the liquid goes up, of course, and when you stop, they go down. And that's the movement we're looking at. The drops that are going down, they're called legs, sometimes also tears. And they do tell us a lot of things. They do tell us about the residual sugar. That means the sweetness of the wine. But in Italy, in most of the cases, you can just put that out of the equation because these semi-sweet, off-dry white wines that you might know from the Alsace region of France or some German wines, Italy just doesn't produce this style of wine. They do have some really sweet ones, the dessert wines, but the normal wines, they don't have this. So you can just forget about the sugar that would cause slower and more legs in your glass when you're drinking an Italian wine. And you can concentrate on alcohol, actually. That's still not the only thing that does it, but as general knowledge, we can say alcohol is very important in there. So the more alcohol you have in your wine, the more drops, legs you're going to have, and the slower they're going to be.
Yeah, and in this case, I see that after I learned how to swirl a glass properly, that it does hold for a few moments at the top, and then they do come, and they're moved relatively slowly. So is it safe to say that this is a wine with more alcohol than...
Definitely, definitely. This one has got 14.5% alcohol, which is rather high for a white wine especially. And it's not like there's no formula. I haven't just calculated it looking at my glass. I do know this from the wine label. Anyone
right.
can find this out. It's always on these complicated Italian wine labels. I know they're not that easy to navigate the first time you meet them. But it's more of an experience thing. If you do it with every glass of wine you drink and then look at the label, find out the alcohol percentage, you're going to see, oh, okay, that was 12%. Look how quick that was. And now look how slow it is now.
Sure.
So that's more alcohol. And within time, you're going to get experience. It's not that important either. You don't necessarily have to say this is that much alcohol. It's just nice to recognize that you have a wine with less or more alcohol in your glass, because that's already one of the first things that the wine is telling you about the feeling it's going to have or leave in your mouth later on.
Sure. That's good. I'm learning as we go.
Okay, now the nose. What would you say?
It's funny, like on the inhale, I didn't get a whole lot, but when I exhaled a little bit with it, I got a little bit more out of it. I thought I had a... I want to see, I'm going to try it again because I want to make sure I get this right since we're on the radio.
Don't be shy about it.
Yeah, exhaling, I got a little bit of, I guess, like a sweetness or like a sugary kind of feel to it. Not too much, though, just a little bit on the way out on the exhale. On the inhale, it hit me a little bit harder than the first one. Unfortunately, I'm not able to pick out a good matching scent on the inhale.
Okay. On the inhale, what you might have noticed is the bitterness, the slight bitterness, and on the exhale, you have the sweetness. This is more like, I would say, some people would define this as honey, which is fine, but I would more Let me sniff again. I would more say this is more like burnt sugar, burnt caramel. Mm. The top of the creme brulee, maybe, you know, the sugar that you have torched your way through. And so this is definitely something sweet in there, but not your regular sweet, sweet stuff. There is something more going on there. There's something interesting, maybe a little bit spicy. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Some saffron. I'm having something spicy.
Yeah, definitely.
How about salty? I know it's a strange thing to think about when you have a wine in your glass, but salty, briny, I don't know, green olives. Ever thought about green olives? Opening a glass of green olives in brine or turkey brine, if that's easier to think about. There is some saltiness in there, and it comes from the soils, actually, which is a very important part of what makes a wine. Here in Italy, the winemakers do let their wines become. They don't make their wines. So the soil does play a huge role in the wines and the taste of the wines. And this coming from Sicily, from close to Etna, the volcano, the soils are very minerally. And minerally soils you can detect when you have a white wine with this saltiness or this spiciness in there. For me, it is like I'm sitting on the seaside in a simple trattoria and the waves are crashing on the rocks. And it's just, I feel like, nice sea breeze.
No, it is nice. And then you mentioned before that sometimes the wines do have that characteristic brininess when they're seaside because of the waves and things like that, kind of, I guess, misting the grapes, for lack of a better term, but getting them wet with the seawater so they kind of carry that essence a bit?
Definitely. That's also one of the reasons. As I said, it can come because of the soils, the minerally soils, iron-rich soils, for example, would make wines like that. But also, if depending on how your vineyards are situated and close to the seaside, and if there's a sea breeze, constant sea breeze coming, which is, for example, the case with the Sardinian wines, then you have the sea breeze brings along some salt. And this is left on the skins of the grapes, of course. And when you later on harvest the grapes and crush the grapes and you have your juice and your juice has a little bit contact with the skins of the grapes, you're definitely going to have this saltiness. It's not like, for our listeners now, it's not like this really salty,
right.
But it's this strange thing that you're not used to find maybe in your wines, in your California Chardonnays, let's say.
Exactly. And then something I learned, I wanted to say yesterday, when you are at a wine tasting or enjoying lots of different wines and you're trying to pick up the nose from glass to glass, kind of to erase what's in your nose a little bit is to sniff your own arm, which I have to tell you, it works tremendously well.
Oh, okay. What he's not telling you is that he tried to smell on the woman's arm next to him. No. I'm just joking. No, exactly. You got that right. It's like a sip of water. What it does to your mouth, just sniffing on your own arm is, it cleanses your nose and you can definitely, smell better. The next sniff in your glass is going to be a lot clearer.
Yeah. And it makes a big difference too. So remember that when you're at the next wine tasting, if you will. So if you want to wow anyone, sniff your arm and then sniff the wine and you'll have a lot more to talk about. So we're going to taste this one now. I'm excited.
Finally. So what do you say?
I like it. It seems a little heavier in my mouth. I don't know if oily is the right word than the last one.
Mm-hmm. Oily is very good.
And it sticks around a bit, and I didn't salivate a whole lot this time. And the taste, it's a little bit more, I'm going to say earthy. I don't know if that's right or not, but it doesn't have any, like in my, than like the last one, like a fruit overtones. Mm-hmm. It seems to have a lot more, I guess, base earthiness, I suppose.
Definitely. That's, again, the soils that you're tasting in there. There's definitely earthiness, or maybe some people, I'm not naming any names, as kids they have licked stones and stuff like that. You know, you might remember that. It's definitely, there is stones in there, there's earth or dirt there, if you like it that way. And it's oily. That was actually a very good word that you chose there. It's definitely oily. It covers your tongue. It doesn't leave you as fresh and as quick as the one before, for example.
Sure.
Our wine from the north, it was very fresh. It definitely cleans your mouth. Like, if you were eating anything, it would really wash away any sticky or grassy feeling, fatty feeling that you would have. And this one is itself kind of oily. Of course, it's exaggerating saying that, but as an example, as opposed to water and oil, if you think about it that way.
Sure.
And it definitely calls for a food that is itself complicated and intense and persistent, as this one is, because, you know, we want to reach the balance between food and wine.
Yeah.
So, and do you remember the other guideline when you're combining regional? So just combine this with a Sicilian pasta dish, for example, which
sure.
I love personally. The one where the sauce is made with the swordfish and eggplants and capers and tomatoes and mint and basil and almonds or walnuts at sometimes.
Sure. And I do forget, we talked about this the other day. What was the name of that particular sauce in Sicily? Is it pesce spada pomodoro?
It's pesce spada melanzane.
Melanzane. Yeah. So it's swordfish and eggplant.
I'm not aware that there's a fantasy name for it, like primavera or whatever.
Right.
It's just the two basic ingredients being the swordfish and the eggplant. It's just the pesce spada melanzane.
It's wonderful. And I had grilled swordfish last night for dinner, and it's wonderful. So that throwing that in pasta, I can't even imagine how good that is, since it's my favorite food in the world.
Great.
Okay. Wonderful. So now we're going to go on to the red wine?
Definitely.
Great.
I'll open the bottle for you.
Excellent. So this is great. This is definitely something, as Hannah is opening the bottle, I think, as you're listening and learning, imagine how wonderful it is to be here, actually, and to do this for yourself. It's fantastic, because you do go through seven wines, and the conversation is delightful. We have a lot of fun. And you get to taste wines, quite frankly, that are harder to get, I would think, in the United States, because they come from regions and winemakers here in Italy. And, of course, being in Italy, you have access to these wonderful wines. But I live in Chicago, so there's a really good wine store there. They're all over the Chicagoland area. It's called Binney's. And they do a good job of actually finding and importing and having in hand, or on hand, if you will, a lot of these wines that we're trying. Now, I learned yesterday, and Han can talk about this in a moment after we've kind of gone through the pour for the red wine here, that just because you can't find the exact maker, I suppose, of the wine, it's okay as long as you buy the wine from the same region. Is that about? Am I saying that correctly?
That is 100% correct.
Right.
That's the most important thing that I also tell all my guests. If there's only one thing that you should remember when you go out of the tasting here, when you come to Italy or when you're still in the States but are drinking Italian wines, the most important thing is the region, always the region, not the grape varietal, not the Chardonnay, Capso, whatever, Merlot, which is definitely hard to find in Italy anyways. Because here in Italy, the winemakers believe in, as we were just talking about it, the terroir, the French word, which literally means territory. And the region makes the wine. And there are definitely these classifications that do limit which grapes can be used within that classification and the yield, so how much of the wine is produced and stuff like that. But definitely the most important thing is knowing where your wine comes from, what appellation it belongs to, and if you love the wine that you had and want to have it again in the future, or just the other way around, you hated it and never ever want to have it in your glass again,
right?
Just you have to notice, make a note of the appellation. It's always written on the Italian wine labels. Those are the words that might sound like indicazione geografica tipica or denominazione origine controllata. It's always written out, and there is always the name of it. And so that is the information. That's the most important information that you get from a wine label in Italy. In fact, they don't even have to write the grape varietals on the wine labels in Italy. It's not an obligation. And anyways, it wouldn't help you that much either, because, you know, Italy has 350 indigenous grape varietals.
It's amazing.
There is no way you're going to remember those.
Yeah, that's 350. That's unbelievable. And then we learned the other day that Italy now surpassed France as the country that with the largest production.
Exactly. For the second year in a row, 2008, Italy was number one wine producing country, number one wine exporting country. And also when we look at it from the States, United States side, it is the number one imported wines into the States. So definitely anywhere you go, the chances are high you're drinking Italian wines.
That's true. And then we also learned that if Sicily were its own country, it'd be the seventh largest wine producing country in the world.
Exactly, exactly. Sicily does produce a lot of wines. It's still unknown in the States, but definitely wines to look out for, be it whites, be it reds, especially a Nero d'Avola grape.
It
I'm sorry,
good.
I have to name a grape now. From different appellations in Sicily, they do, of course, differ a little bit than in their characteristics, but it's a very nice grape, produces great results, and you should try it. If you like the reds, if you like the whites, you can really have any Sicilian white, and you're going to like it.
Wonderful. That's fantastic. Let's try this red here. Let's get through.
Okay. So remember talking about the color of the wines. But the red wines, we cannot apply the same theory that we have with the white wines. Remember, from north to south, the color gets richer and darker. With the red wines, it doesn't apply. What does apply with the red wines and their color is you have to look at the edges of your wine. I mean, for that, of course, you have to have a little bit of wine in your wine glass. And remember, your wine glass always has to have a stem, mm-hmm. and it has to be big enough. And you do not fill it up to the brim, please.
That's true.
Okay.
And then also, I failed to mention this. It's you should have a white napkin handy that set the wine so that you have a backdrop for the wine so that you can actually see or reveal the color.
That's ideal, of course. Any white background would be perfect. If it's a piece of paper, if, I don't know, if it's still winter and you're cheesy, you can have your own arm. Just anything white so that you can really appreciate the color of the wine. And with the red wines, as I said, just tilt your glass a little bit. And now if you think about the amount of wine that you have in your glass as a lake, now look at the shores of the lake that are further away from you and see if the color is changing around these shores, these edges. You know, the color of the wine itself doesn't play a role here. It is important for us professionals to check some certain stuff. But for the normal wine drinker, it does not necessarily give a lot of information. But these checking if the color is getting lighter and more transparent, as is the case here, wine, see how you... At the end, it looks just like water.
It does.
The very outer edges. Okay, that's a perfect sign for a young red wine. Hmm. You can see the age. It's, 20 months.
Yeah.
No, it's not that exact, of course. But you can definitely tell if it's a young wine. If it's clear like this, it's a young wine. And if it's already orange, the edges, it means we have, let's say graduated out of college and already in the first job maybe. And when you have a really nice old wine, like a big Barolo or a Brunello from Italy, it's like 30, 40 years old, then you're going to have brown edges.
Mm. Yeah, this is just like water on the very edge. I mean, it's amazing. You can't even tell that there's wine if you're just looking at the shores, if you will.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And this is a 2005 vintage. Vintage meaning that the grapes were harvested in that year. And it's a Barbera d'Alba, which is from Piemont, from north of Italy. And so there are some wines definitely that are going to have, at this age, 4 years, already orange edges. It depends on the whole life cycle of the wine. But for a Barbera d'Alba, 4 years old, having clear edges is perfectly fine.
Wonderful. And now we check the leg. Oh, no, the smell first, right?
Well, the legs first.
The legs first.
You know, it's the eye, nose, mouth. You go from up to down. Okay?
Perfect.
So eye is the color and the legs, and then the nose. Would you like to say something about the legs?
Yeah. Let's see here. If I'm going to be a good student or not. Let's see. It does kind of hold for a second, and then when they do start to drop, they fall relatively fast.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say it's maybe moderate alcohol content.
Exactly. This is 13.5% alcohol. It doesn't have too much alcohol, and it shows.
Yeah.
Okay. Now the nose. So what do you smell?
Well, I smell like ripe cherries, I think, a little bit in this one.
Very good. I like that. Especially think about it. Cherries and Piemont, they just go hand in hand.
See, like, I'm getting it right, everybody. So anyone can do this. This is great.
Okay, well, what else? What else are you smelling? I mean, cherries is the most important. That's definitely enough. But if you can detect some more, if you try to get maybe a little bit more out of it. How about alcohol? Can you smell the alcohol here?
Yeah, definitely.
This one? Mm-hmm.
Okay. More so than the other two that we tried. Mm-hmm. It really seems to be on the nose for me.
What I always think about when I have this wine in my glass is, do you know the chocolate mon cherry, called?
Sure.
The chocolate pralines with the alcohol and the whole cherry inside. For me, it's exactly like that because I can smell the alcohol a little bit. It goes like a little bit goes up your nose.
Yeah.
And then I have definitely the cherries and a little bit of chocolate in there. It's very enjoyable smell, I think.
It is. It's quite nice. I'm excited to taste it.
Okay.
It's a very good wine. It's a very, very good wine. And it's funny. I a lot of times I don't always taste what I can smell in the wine, but in this case, I do have the cherry and the chocolate, as you say, and the alcohol kind of stay with the taste for me.
Mm-hmm.
So it tastes a lot more like it smells, than I thought that I was expecting. So.
Okay.
I guess it is exactly what I expected. It's wonderful.
Okay, so how is the feeling in your mouth? Because that's also one of the important things to think about and ponder about. What do I feel in my mouth?
This one was a little bit more, I guess, watery and I guess acidic. I've learned because my mouth watered a little bit.
Uh huh. Okay. So how about drying out? Do you feel any drying out on the insides of your cheeks, maybe, or on your tongue, on the back side or the sides of your tongue?
Yeah, I definitely do.
Okay, but is it like too much? Is it or
no,
bearable?
It's bearable actually. It's I'm usually a bigger fan of white wines, but this is a red wine I could drink because it doesn't feel like it's getting a hold of me too much, I suppose.
Okay, I like that. See this the salivation that you mentioned and also the drying out. These are the two most important things for a red wine. Or let's say for any wine, the most important thing, if you want a wine that's supposed to get old in a nice way, it has to have two things. It has to have acidity. That's the salivation you have in your mouth. And it has to have the tannins. That's the dryness, the dry feeling in your mouth. So red wines do have a huge advantage over white wines while they're getting old because white wines, let's say, almost never have tannins and they have only acidity. So it's like they're trying to walk with just one crutch, you know? Like you cannot walk that good anymore and you have one crutch. And red wines can have, not necessarily do always, but can have two crutches, the acidity and the tannins, and it does help them get older in a nice way.
That's wonderful. And, well, that's great stuff. I mean, I should tell you, from experience, having dined quite a bit here in Italy, it's wonderful. Most of the restaurants, in fact, all of them, have an excellent selection for, you know, the wines that they offer, whether they be regional. And if they do have wines outside of the regions, they often have food to pair well with that. And then for those out in the U.S., if you want a wonderful dining experience, you can just give something besides Merlot a try and give something besides Cabernet a try. Dive in and don't be afraid of the Italian wines because you're unfamiliar with the regions or you're unfamiliar with something that on the label. So I would say dive in head first.